The following podcast is a member of the Pokecasters Network. Pokecasters Network, supporting Pokemon content creators, their shows, and the community of Pokemon fans. To find out more, check out PokecastersNetwork.com or find us on Twitter and Facebook.
This up. Is my room remarkably echoey, or is it like okay-ish?
It's not remarkably echoey. It's echoey, but it's not remarkably echoey.
All right,
if that is any consolation.
Quick, grab the cardboard box strategy. Hello everyone, welcome to Not a Scratch, the only podcast that believes that Scratch is an overpowered move. I am your host, your PM, your DM, your GM, Anaru himself, and with me here, reveling in the fact that their team wasn't expected to win the Super Bowl.
It's me, Muhammad. I don't know why you would say reveling, because I'm never gassed about it, but you know, listen, rebuilds are rebuilds, and this one's going to be annoying. Shout out Devin McCourty, Hall of Famer. Man, imagine not meeting expectations.
I'm fine. That's what I need. I need a new character that just is constantly crying.
Oh my goodness.
I think we had planned for a Magikarp to do that, and then we just never introduced the Magikarp.
I don't know if we ever planned for it, but yeah.
I think I planned for it. I never said that out loud. There's a Magikarp somewhere that talks like that all the time.
Somewhere deep in the files.
Somewhere deep, yep.
Somewhere hidden in the game code.
This game code is messy. I'm very glad there's going to be a version 4.0, but I'm getting ahead of myself. Welcome everyone to Not a Scratch. I'm Anaru. That's Muhammad. We've done this introduction before. This is great. We totally have not just skipped a month of content creation at all due to my inability to press the start button on the recording. But here we are.
During this break and not recording, not a scratch, I've been recording a playthrough and editing a playthrough, and oh my god, I hate this process so much. I hate it.
It's weird. For the video production process, I'm either incredibly invested and enjoying every moment of it, or despising society.
Oh, yeah, no, there's no... For me, it's just like, oh, this is the tedious part. I don't enjoy this. but then the end product comes out, and it's like, yeah, it was kind of worth it.
Exactly. It's all the time. Like, all the time it's
that. Like, I'm at the point in the process, like, writing the script was a pain because the script never felt like it came together. And then it eventually did. And by eventually did, I mean, it got to a point where I was just like, all right, you know what? It's good enough.
These are words.
And these are words. The story is somewhat a story, and it works. And then I sat down and I recorded it. And I hate recording post-com. Because it's tedious, it's annoying, and because like it's not just like if it was just straight like reading off a script post-com, I can do that, no problem. But no, I have to cut to a reel. I have to cut to face cam sometimes, which means I've got to read a sentence, memorize it, look at the camera, say it, and then do it again for a whole script. And this script ended up being 4,300 words. And then I got to sit down and I got to cut it down and I got to find the best takes. And now you think the tedium's done, but no, because now every 3 seconds I got to find a new gameplay clip to insert. And oh my goodness, it's annoying. By the time this episode drops, that video is going to be out, and oh my goodness, I am not going to... By the time this episode comes out, I will be sick and tired of that video's existence, and it will have been, like, at most, like, 2 weeks.
Maybe.
The good news is I'm not doing a playthrough like that again for a while. I'm done.
go with the basic one. Something real, real basic, like how to beat a Pokemon game with all the Pokemon in the game. Something real standard.
for me, it's not the playthrough part. It's the editing process.
Oh, that's where you do
because,
it.
Because the problem is I edit to much higher of a degree than you do.
I try to
which
let
is, my it's a completely area. Different stylistic choice. And one of them leads to much easier production, and one of them leads to weeks of pain.
Yeah.
For what is arguably an equivalent end result.
Potentially. Yeah. It really does. It's fun. I don't know. I try to let my voice carry it, and sometimes it does, and sometimes it doesn't. And I kind of just, you know, I look at results maybe once every other week and process from there.
When
anyway.
I say end result, I mean satisfaction with the video. Because
that, I agree with that.
No, numbers mean nothing at this point.
Numbers mean everything. See, this is where my econ background is like, stats, graphs, chart go up, brr.
Meanwhile, I'm just like, the points don't matter.
Speaking of things that don't matter, remember where there was a bad guy, you know, like a pirate gang, and how they were like disruptive? They beat you? We don't talk about that. This is like, it's one of those like, it's like when
what
the
are you
main character
about? Those points don't count. Those points don't matter.
No, exactly. The points don't count. It was in an old episode. Speaking of old episodes, let's talk about last time. A lot of stuff happened. It would be an exaggeration. A lot of time passed.
Not an exaggeration. That would just be a flat out lie.
Yeah. A lot of time passed. And for the people that live in Steelforge City, a lot of stuff did happen in that town that was non-existent turned into a town that was existent again. But for Kyle, at least, not a lot there. Because it has been 14 years since we last did an episode, would you like to do the recap, or would you like me to do the recap?
You know, I can take this recap, because this recap is going to take all of... hold on, let me just do some quick mental math. This recap is going to take all of 47 seconds.
Go for it.
So we get back from the future. Hoopa's scared, and Hoopa's like, all right, nope, I'm out. The pirates, y'all are on your own. And the pirates cannot deal with, you know, the rest of us without Hoopa's help. And the pirates get, you know, skedaddled out of town. And then we spend some time fixing up town. Echo seems a little shook, but like, I mean, it's whatever. He's fine now. Now that all the guilds have fixed up Iron Gate. Now that they've all fixed up Iron Gate and, you know, it's all good and ready to go, we hop on a train and we're going to Vulcanburg. Vulcanburg City, Vulcanburg Town. Vulcanburg is, I don't know if it has a city or town at the end, but yeah, we're on a train. That was slightly over 47 seconds. I'm sorry.
Hype. I wasn't keeping track, so future me, let me know if that was or wasn't 47 seconds or so.
That was definitely over 47 seconds. There was a bit too many uhs and ums and pauses. I want to say that was somewhere around the 63 second mark.
Future me, you know the drill. Hi everyone, this is future me talking here. After editing, if it helps, that was a 40 second summary, which is pretty good. Prior to editing though, over, so we're just going to pretend that's not the case and give Muhammad the win here. So, official count, 40 seconds. Cool. Back to you, past me. Back to the other guy that's talking. Thanks for letting me know. I've been saying Steelforge all this time. You are right, though. And, in fact, I realized that my clock is slightly off in the sense that I don't think that's particularly right. But...
if your clock isn't moving, just wait. At some point over the next 12 hours, it'll be right.
Yeah, well, it doesn't. That's the issue. Because I have the time of, like, the date and time that I try to keep track of all the time. I don't know if that's correct, but I also didn't hear me say anything otherwise. So, rather than
you definitely you definitely established date at, like, the start of last episode.
Okay.
Or was it the start of two episodes ago?
Rather than mention the specific date that's on my sheet right here, I will instead refer to it in vague terms and fix it in post. So...
nice.
That's great. Time continues to tick forward, and you are, frankly, way ahead of schedule. So,
like I said, the points don't matter.
The points don't really matter. I don't believe there is much else to add here. Did you have anything that popped up?
Not that I could think of. No.
All right. Without further ado, let us dive on in. chugga 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 chugga. That's just going to be me this entire episode. I just say that for 40 minutes and then call it an episode.
Dun 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 dun. That's it.
This episode today is brought to you by Thomas the Tank Engine.
And by viewers like you. Thank you.
Yeah, you've just... And by viewers like you. Thank you. Da 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 da. Okay. So, as we mentioned in the previous episode, everyone is four to a cabin, split amongst all these guilds. For the most part, most of the guilds are stuck together, but there are a couple of extraneous folks, a.k.a. The recruits, and that one leftover guy, because Susie ended up showing up. So, that leftover guy that you ended up choosing, Sting the Ariados. Did I say Sting? I think you said the name was Sting. It's not Sting, it's Pinch. Pinch the Ariados.
I never said Sting.
You said a name last time, and I don't remember what that name was. Anyway, regardless of all that.
What?
You guessed the name, and it was wrong, and I think you guessed Sting, but...
Oh, I thought you said I said that that was what the Ariados' name was, and I was like, I never... Excuse you.
I don't believe in myself like that. Where are they? Hello? Where'd you go? Anyway, Ariados is here. Pinch is here. As you are heading on to Vulcanburg. Now, the entire trip is a 96-unit trip, which we broke down to a number of days that it would take. I can't find. But rather than
which is hidden in this envelope that I can't open.
Yes. Rather than do that, and rather than contemplate this, I'm actually just going to retcon the days thing to fix this. And I guess your train is going faster or slower than average. Regardless of all of that, I am going to say that you are currently on your train to Vulcanburg, and that whatever day it is right now, you will reach Vulcanburg on... Pull up the calendar to make sure that my days are right. I think this is going to be a fast train, but regardless of all that, you are going to reach Vulcanburg on Sunday morning, August 14th.
Dude, we're just taking the express. That's all it is.
I think this is faster. It might not be. In which case, you're taking the casual. Either way, you're effectively having a few days here to enjoy yourself and not panic at the fact that the world is exploding in front of you.
Well, yeah, because last I checked, Hoopa is mid. We are based, and we are unbeatable. So we're chilling.
Yes, and we won't talk about the claws fight that happened initially, because that didn't happen.
What fight?
Exactly. So with a few days here, as I've mentioned, this is not only sort of, it potentially might be an express train, right? Regardless of the fact, it's going to be a couple of days for you to get from, you're effectively crossing states here, as I slowly try to remember the terminology we've been using for 2.5 years, 3 years. It's going to be 3 years soon?
Yep.
Is it? Geez.
Yep.
When
we start production on Arc 6, we will have been 3 years into production of the show.
This is nuts. So, this show, which is older than some of you listening, maybe. I doubt that's the case. But I think we have states. You're quite literally crossing states. You're going from Petrum to... can I remember the state?
It's not
to Flama. There you go.
Flama. That's what it is.
You're crossing states. You're going into Flama. Not only are you going into Flama, you're going deep into Flama. Kyle, as you take a breather, what are you thinking about? What's the things on your mind right now? Because I don't know if there are specific goals. There's been a lot of activity that's happened previously. Hoopa's done Hoopa-y things. What you thinking?
Yeah. Well, considering everything that just happened in Iron Gate, right? I feel like the big things on Kyle's mind are obviously, like, you know, fate of the universe, that seems to be, you know, pretty under control for now. If anything, we might have just scared the bad guys away. The universe may no longer be in danger. Then the next thing is, all right, if the fate of the universe is pretty chill, then what's next on my priority list? Maybe this child in my backpack. But the good news is, at some point in the future, we met up with Kyogre and did our thing, and Kyogre... Now, I don't know exactly how Hoopa's making all of this interdimensional work, interdimensional, like, timeline stuff work. I don't know if it's, like, in some alternate universe Kyogre has seen Manaphy, and Kyle and Manaphy are chill with Kyogre, or not, or, like, if this timeline Kyogre knows or not. But either way, Kyle feels fairly confident. Like, you know what? We'll get to Vulcanburg. From there, we'll head out to the coast. And once we get to that town on the coast, we'll figure out how to get to Kyogre because we know whereabouts to look. And we'll do our thing. We'll get our Aquamonica. We'll see what Manaphy wants to do at that point. Whether Manaphy sticks around or whether Manaphy, you know, hangs out in the ocean doing its Manaphy thing, riding currents. We'll figure it out. I'm trying to think if there's anything else that's really happened for Kyle recently. I feel like the other thing is just like, oh, general like recruit stuff. Recruits are looking good. We've got people. People are doing well. No one's in any imminent danger. No one's really struggling, it seems like. So we're good. We're chugging along. Sindorin has a scarf. He's chilling now.
That is true at this point. Sindorin still in his own situation, I guess, where he is constantly poisoned. That has not been healed as of yet.
Hasn't been healed. If we come across, like, we have a Band-Aid solution, and by Band-Aid I mean more of like a brace, because, or like a wrap on it, I guess.
3,000, I think Petra scarves are like 3 or 4K. A 3 or 4K fashion statement that's also saving his life right now.
Yeah, exactly. And like, surely somewhere along our journey we'll find a solution, but like, Sindorin seems to be chilling, so.
Sure, and sure enough, as I'm gonna say it's midday of day, insert number here. This entire train ride, for the most part, is going to be just a blur of timelines and people that you're talking to. We're just kind of vibing here until we get to Vulcanburg. So throughout this trip as well, you've seen Sindorin, who is getting back into his own sort of groove of thing, make an insight roll. I was about to say insight check. I've been watching way too much Dimension 20 recently. And so I'm quite literally talking like Brendan Lee Mulligan.
Insight is beauty, is it not?
Insight is a beauty check, yes.
Well, 6 minus 1 is 5.
Sindorin seems fine. Adam seems fine. Everybody seems all fine and dandy.
Yeah, everyone seems all fine and dandy.
Sindorin's kept to himself for the most part. I think he's in the middle of writing something. Is probably the best, the idea that pops into your mind. Because you've seen him feverishly writing down a bunch of random notes and stuff. Adam seems calm. Every now and then he seems to meditate, I guess is the best way to describe it. You can tell, because you're a recruit, he's probably talking to somebody.
Kyle isn't in the business of wiretapping, especially within his own organization, you know?
Exactly. And then Pinch, you haven't really talked to Pinch too much. You know Pinch vaguely from your time with the Bronze Roses, but even then, Pinch was very much a keep-to-themselves type of Pokemon. So
also, Kyle wasn't with the Bronze Roses all that long.
That is true.
Kyle was there a few weeks and kind of did his thing. And
for our timeline, a few weeks is an eternity. So
was Kyle even there for a few weeks?
You would have been there...
like 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah, I would say maybe tops. 2, if you combine all the time together, maybe 2, somewhere between 2 and 3 weeks.
Yeah, and that includes like a lot of time spent away from the Bronze Roses out in, oh god, what did we call it? New Birch City, yes. So.
That is true, yeah. So, I think with Kyle, I think what the Boulder Stars, then the Bronze Roses are... the two that you've spent the most time with. The Boulder Stars for an extended period of time.
The Boulder Stars was like an extended period of time. The Bronze Roses spent some amount of time. And then...
the Battle Hammers for maybe a week. And then the Dark Clouds, you were there for like a half hour, basically.
Well, the Dark Clouds, I don't think... Well, Kyle was never officially with the Dark Clouds as like a guild member in the exchange program. It's just Kyle teamed up with the other two kids from his school in the Dark Clouds to make a delivery. Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's correct. So of the guild itself, I think you've been down more than half of them then at this point.
Although, do we really count the Dark Clouds, right? It's basically half, because the Dark Cloud's got to count as half.
Yeah, of the seven major guilds, you have been with the Dark Clouds for a cup of coffee, the Bronze Roses for a decent period of time, Battlehammers for a short period of time, the Boulder Stars for a decent amount of time, and then if you want to count the recruits as that secret society, then that's five of the eight as opposed to four of the seven. But you've been with most of the guilds. Interesting. I actually never thought about that, but yeah.
It's been a long 2 months.
Yeah, the Wildling, you started June 1. It is now, by the end of this train trip, it'll be mid-August. So yeah, two and a half months of which you have just compacted a lifetime's worth of experience, and you're not even done. Yay!
Yep.
Cool. Is there anyone, again, as this train trip is sort of just a trip to recap, reconvene, sort of figure out your next game plan, you have 90% of people that you have connections with on this train right now. Is there anyone you want to reach out to talk to, figure out details, learn secrets, play a game of blackjack? I don't know, whatever you want to do.
I'm trying to think if Kyle has any business with, or because I guess, right, if Kyle's going to be like, you know, strategizing, talking shop, who on this train not named Adam would he actually like have a reason to, you know, reach out to?
That's a fair point. Yeah, most of the people
is what I'm thinking, because the battle hammers at this point, Kyle's like, well, all right, we went to the battle hammers to try and get out to the coast, and we are currently getting out to the coast, and there's no other guild out around here, right? So I mean, it'll probably be like once we get to Vulcanburg, Kyle will have that conversation with Echo about like, all right, so I gotta stay out here for like an assignment, like probably bring Adam into the conversation, just, you know, make it all official, da 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 da, right? In terms of recruit stuff, I feel like Kyle would be checking in with Adam on this train ride, right? In terms of figuring out, all right, where's everyone else at? Do we need a change in staffing, a change in, you know, a change in targets on the different legendary items and stuff?
That is a good point. If you would like, you've technically had this power, though never needed to really use it. If you would like, you can call a meeting.
Yeah, but I don't think it's that, I think until Kyle acquires the Aquamonica, it's not like call a meeting level of urgency. I think like once another legendary item is acquired, that's when it's like, all right, let's hop on the phone. Let's figure this out.
Gotcha. Okay.
And from what Kyle can tell, Aquamonica is coming up pretty soon, so.
Yeah, here's hoping, at least. as if I have control over that. Well, I mean, I sort of do. okay, gotcha there. All right, if that's the case, if there's nothing of major importance that you'd like to discuss with anyone on the train, who are you hanging out with? Just vaguely speaking.
I'm not sure. Because Zadoran's very engrossed in his writing. So, like, unless Zadoran, like, wanted some help with, like, illustrations and stuff like he has before, right? That's not someone Kyle's gonna hang out with much. I assume since all of the guilds are on this train, right, There is a fair amount of, like, you know, mingling and, like, group activities and stuff. Basically, like, the conference that was supposed to happen at Vulcanburg, I'd imagine at least the non-work-functioning parts of that conference are happening on this train right now.
Oh, sure, there's a bunch of icebreakers going on. You've got everyone being like, you know, what's one fun fact about you? Snow's like, hey, here's my fun fact. I run over people for a living. And everyone's like, oh, yeah, that's very good. Very good.
Very nice. Very nice.
Very nice. Yeah, polite golf claps there.
Yeah. I don't think Kyle's like particularly seeking anything out. I think Kyle's like, all right, let's get to Vulcanburg. Come on, let's go. You know?
You go up to the conductor and like, can this train go faster? The conductor stares at you like an NPC and does not respond. You just have that
Kyle
that like,
holds
bob,
up.
And, like,
Kyle that holds up one poke.
The conductor takes the one poke, and you don't have to actually deduct one poke. The conductor takes one poke, and the train lurches forward at light speed. You fly backwards, take 2 points of damage. No,
surprise.
All right, so I guess then, yeah, then you decide, I guess, for the most part, just kind of hang out with the rest of the guilds, do the normal like icebreaker things. What's your one fun fact? I'm part of the recruits. Bam! Break the game.
Yeah, I've met legendary Pokemon. I think Kyle's one fun fact. It's like, yeah, I'm a soon-to-be-published illustrator, and everyone's like, ooh, wow.
Ooh, that's a fair point. Yeah, you are basically, worst-case scenario, you're written in, like, the bottom of the book. Not the bottom of the book. Like, on the main page, it's, like, illustrated by Kyle Longgrass. Is that your last name?
Yes.
Yes. Illustrated by Kyle Longgrass. And everyone's like, oh, yeah, very cool. Cool. I think if that's the case, we can just push the clock forward and reset our clock in a good way.
Make your life somewhat easier.
Right, so I'll have a general idea of what's going on. Yeah, I'll do it on the desk.
Okay. Wow. I love how you thought about, do I let Muhammad hear the fact that I'm rolling the dice?
Yeah.
Do I scare him? Joke's on Anarud. I'm not scared. I'm terrified.
It's Saturday night.
We're set to arrive on Sunday, right?
You were set to arrive on Sunday, so this is in fact the night before.
Okay.
To quote a famous philosopher, it's Saturday night, and we in the spot. Don't believe me. Just watch. Come on. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
I don't know whether to facepalm or just get up, mute my mic, and walk away.
If you mute your mic and walk away, you might not hear the interesting details that happen on Saturday night. So, Saturday night, everything's calming down. A couple of the guild leaders who are running the thing more than the rest. Adam, actually, for the most part, at this point, is taking a backseat when it comes to guilding stuff.
Well, because he's the retired president of the Guild Association.
Exactly, yeah. He's here to, like, bring the people together to shake hands, but it's not his... This isn't his baby, basically.
Also, I thought, like, Adam's whole thing... Like, I don't think Adam was supposed to be at this conference, right? It's just... Was he initially...
He is. He's more here to... Because he was there initially to bring people together. Through his connections on both sides. But that's kind of what he is. He's just a guy bringing the hands together.
He's the old guy in the room who's, you know, there for the vibes.
Exactly. So I think... like Carlos Costa is one of the, as an elder guild member, he's been one of the ones that's leading the actual engagement effort, if that makes any sense. So Carlos has kind of given the okay, like, hey guys, tomorrow we're gonna, you know, in takes half an hour for him to say these few sentences. Tomorrow morning, that's, you know, we're gonna set up everything like that. Our meeting itself is later that day, so if you want to explore a little bit, feel free. Your time, you want to be. In, and he points out on the map, roughly like this building, around 5 o'clock, all good there, clap clap, adios, etc.
Sounds like we have a day to explore Vulcanburg.
Yeah, any questions about that before Saturday night?
I don't think Kyle has any questions.
Perfect. So, Saturday night, you're in bed. Everything's good. You see yourself, obviously. I'm going to say that these cabins itself have like the little curtains, you know, to like... Allow for some privacy. Go ahead and make a... Actually, I'll leave it up to you. Anything you want to do before you actually go to bed in your room itself?
I can't think of anything Kyle would do while on this train, apart from what he's been doing the past few days. Probably, like, spend some time on his own, like, you know, brushing up on his drawing skills, reading up in the book a bit. Yeah, I can't think of what else Kyle would be doing right now. So,
okay. So go ahead and go to bed. As you go to bed, I want you to make an arcana check. Arcana check? An arcana roll? That's a smart roll there.
It is. Is it dream time? 14 plus 1. It's dream time, baby.
Hello, this is Anaru, the GMPMDM of Not a Scratch. We are back. Hello. Thank you for listening to this episode. As always, episodes come out weekly, so be sure to follow us, subscribe, and do all those important things you ought to do when supporting a podcast, the weekly thing. Not the case here. Good news, it's even better. We're having episodes today, tomorrow, and the day after. That's right, 3 straight days of episodes as we end Arc 5. So, if you've enjoyed the episode and want to support us in any way, shape, or form that you can, the best way to do so is to share us with your friends, share us with people excited about the end of this arc that has been going on for over a year. Very, very exciting.
Also, leave us a review on your podcasting platform. Reviews help to bring new people into our community and give us advice on what we can improve upon in the future. You can follow us on Twitter at NotAScratchCast, email us at notascratchcast@gmail.com, join our Discord, which have a bunch of amazing, awesome, wonderful people, check out our website, which you can find at www.notascratchcast.com. It's got episodes, it's got merch, it's got art, all that fun stuff that you want to check out. Again, everything in the description down below. We want to thank Glitch X City for the songs Kirby's Dream Land, the Lo-Fi Remix, and Pokemon Reborn Champion Battle Theme. And we also want to thank Tabletop Audio for the songs Strangers on a Train, Shadowfell, Cyberpunk City, Medieval Library, and Cut Purse Pursuit. We also want to shout out our Patreon members who have been fantastic as we took this mini hiatus right now. We at Not to Scratch have a Patreon, as it makes sense if we have Patreon members, where you can get amazing extra benefits regarding the show and its future. You'll also be recognized during the show right here. Thank you to our Patreon members, and if you want your name, if you hear it, and you want to change to something else for Arc 6, because I'm recording all the midsections for all three episodes now itself, please let me know. I'm just going based off of the names that you've either told me in advance or on the Patreon page itself. If you want to be known by something else, just let me know. So, thank you to our Patreon members, Ginny, Urza93, Eli, Pure Glaceon, Damon Liger, Simon Pelowakin, Fennec, Benetril, Evelyn C., and Journeyman Negative. For more information, check out the links in the episode description or contact us on Discord or Twitter. Now without further ado, let's find out what this dream is all about. It is, we haven't done this for a while, it is dream time. As you slide on into bed, as you slowly drift off into sleep, you open your eyes and find yourself in pitch blackness.
Well, we've been here before.
You've been here a couple of times. Most of the time regarding one issue that's been resolved, but you open your eyes, pitch blackness. So you open your eyes and find yourself in basically pitch blackness. You can see your hands if they are right up to your face.
Have we had this before?
Not exactly.
Because I think every time Kyle's dreamed and woke up and realized he's in pitch black, he can't even see his hands in front of his face.
That is true. There's a little bit more light this time.
Yeah. Okay. It's just he's in a dark area. He's not in the void.
Correct.
Looking around, he sees nothing, I assume.
Nothing, as far as you can tell. Well, actually, I need to start incorporating more roles. Go ahead and make your choice of investigation or perception. Depending on which one you roll and your result, I'll tell you different things.
Okay. I think we're gonna try and stand up and assess, you know, is there a ground beneath me? What's the ground beneath me? Is this just like a dream? Have I been transported somewhere? Like, am I in dream world kind of thing? Which I feel like is more investigation, you know? Try to figure out the style of dream we are in.
Sure. Okay, so investigation is more like what's happening.
Like, I'm not trying to figure out what's around me. I'm just trying to figure out, you know, the actual state of things.
Gotcha.
Got a 14 again, somehow, some way. So 14 plus 1 is 15.
Gotcha. You can tell this dream reminds you of another type of dream that you've had. The problem is, you don't think that helps you. This really reminds you of a dream you had way, way back ago that effectively predicted the future. If you remember way back when, where you dreamed yourself into seeing the instance where you met up, and this is like a weird, because now your head's starting to hurt, but you're remembering the old timeline specifically in this regard when it comes to this dream of like you and Ralph and the way that you dreamed yourself into seeing like events in the future that were going to happen. You know, now this was the instance that you dreamed yourself into predicting the event where Ralph would make his wish. It feels like that.
I don't remember having those dream sequences. But I see what you're saying. Okay.
Kyle would remember this. This is the merge of time. You know Ralph exists and you know that adventure. So you know specifically Ralph's version of this. I think Kyle's version of this would have been slightly different. Well, Kyle's version of this wouldn't have really happened, because the whole point of it was that you would transport up to go to Ralph. So you actually only remember the Ralph version of this.
Yeah. Huh. This feels like a similar style of dream where this isn't so much I'm in this situation, more of a this is a bit of a vision kind of thing.
Exactly. The thing that's good and bad news, you can tell this is the case, and the thing that reminds you about that is that when you were in that back then, when you were visioning to the future, things you didn't know existed appeared in a fuzzy black, like, fog.
Yes, yes. Yeah, that sounds right.
And as you look around you entirely, everything around you is in that fuzzy black fog, with the exception of yourself.
Okay.
So you've narrowed down. This is a vision of the future, and I know nothing that is here.
Yeah. This is all foreign. A place I haven't been, people I haven't seen, things I haven't seen. I think knowing that this is kind of an opportunity to maybe learn something, I think Kyle's going to try to, like, walk around a bit and see if he can't stumble across something that, like, breaks through the fog of unknown.
Sure. As a ghost, effectively, as you were last time, you're able to go through walls, you're able to move and adjust things in certain sort of ways, but not completely.
Yeah.
So if you remember, you sort of, I vaguely remember in that Ralph version of the dream, either Ralph or you, like, triggered Ralph's reaction in a way. There's some vague thing about that. You can sort of do that here, though your control over things isn't as prevalent. They'd have to really notice you to notice you.
Yeah.
With that said, basically luck of the draw at this point, where you are right now, I'll simplify it by saying you got four directions to go, north, south, east, west. Where are you going?
Onwards and upwards, forwards, northwards.
So with you having basically no vision, you walk forward, or float forward, move forward effectively. You're moving forward, forward, forward. In the distance forward, you do see something appear, which effectively means it's something you know.
Yeah.
There's a thing there.
I need to figure out what that thing is.
Zooming forward some more, what you see is yourself. Unsurprisingly, slightly older. You're kind of taking a stab here, but, it looks like more grizzled, I guess is the best way to describe it. This is not like you in the future. This is just you having gone through another chaotic situation, probably.
Yeah.
Is
there nothing around me?
Go ahead and make for me... I'll give you two options here. Same concept, but two different pieces of information. Perception, insight. Insight gets more about what Kyle's going through, the future version. Perception is around you.
I feel like knowing what's going on would give me some level of insight into how Kyle would feel about it, versus knowing how Kyle feels about things doesn't necessarily tell me what's going on, if that makes sense.
Look, if it makes sense in your head, all you gotta do is tell me the word.
Alright. This is a... Wow, okay, nat 1 on perception. Sure.
Oof. Nat 1 on perception. I almost want to give you information, see if that just confuses you here.
You can give me, I guess, by the letter of... I was gonna say the letter of the law, but I mean, it's not like there's a written code anywhere. But by the letter of the law, you can give me bad information on a nat 1. The problem is I might know you're giving me bad information. But also you're giving Kyle information.
On a nat 1, this is it's that emotional feeling I get when I have an idea that will add chaos.
On a
nat 1 perception, you look around trying to see something, anything that would give you additional insight, and you find something, but the something you find is not something that you want to see.
Oh, well, that's great.
On this, like, as you, how are you looking for things right now? Kyle is about, at this point, I'm going to say 10 feet in front of you, directly. Future Kyle is, like, 10 feet in front of you. Looks like, the best way to describe it would be tying his shoe, which doesn't make sense because you don't wear shoes, but...
Yeah, just, like, stopped and, like, paused in his path, kind of.
Yeah, he's paused down. He's on one knee looking at the ground, I guess is the best way to describe it. That doesn't really
help. Yeah.
So where are you looking around you to get additional points of
information? Well, I think what Dream Kyle is trying to do here is basically go right to where he sees future Kyle, and from there start scanning around to see if he can see anything, like if there's anything around him that, like, you know, he can see, like, oh, can he see, like, the path Kyle came down? Can he see, like, you know, something in the surroundings, someone in the surroundings that's familiar, if that mm-hmm. makes sense.
Do you look around? Do you, like, spin around completely, or do you just look, like, from side to side, or?
I feel like it's, like, a relatively deliberate, slow scan of, like, all right, nothing here, nothing here, nothing here, nothing here, all the way around.
So as you're looking around, if take a slow scan around, head turns to the left, don't see anything, just slowly moving to the right. I think at some point you probably turn around, nothing yeah. there. Full 360, nothing.
And up and down. Then,
yeah, up and down as well.
And then
you feel a tap on your shoulder.
Huh?
Just.
No, but Dream Kyle feels a tap on his shoulder.
Dream Kyle feels a tap on your shoulder.
That okay. So maybe figure out who that is.
Completely turn around 180, somewhat shocked, with a wide grin on its face. Is Hoopa?
Yep, of course.
Is staring at you.
Of course. Yep. Yep.
Doesn't look like Hoopa's trying to fight or anything. They're just kind of vibing. But just stares directly at you. I imagine you're stunned.
I feel like that last interaction Kyle had with Hoopa has almost kind of changed his view and his dynamic. Because, like, up till this point, like, Kyle was petrified of Hoopa, right? Like, this is the big bad evil. This is a legendary Pokemon. Like, I cannot stand up to it in any way. If it shows up, like, I am at its mercy. Versus now, Kyle's like, wait, hold on. You are just a confused, bumbling buffoon as the rest of us. Like, like, hold on.
You don't
on.
Know what's no. going on either.
Exactly. Like, we're all on equal footing here. So I feel like Kyle is, like, kind of... Kyle's not shocked because, like, I think at this point, Kyle is kind of realized, wait, hold on. Like, of course, Hoopa could invade my dream. Hoopa's invaded our... you know, dream world meeting place. So, like, this is not a stretch of the imagination. So I don't think Kyle's shocked. I think Kyle's just more so, like, annoyed or exasperated. It just kind of gives him that, like, one eyebrow raise. It's just like, what do you want?
Hoopa just kind of looks at you. I think, what would be the best way to describe it? Looks at you with, like, a puzzled look on his face. I think, on their face. I think it's the best way to describe it. Just kind of looks at you like,
interesting. Fascinating that you could peer here, though I doubt you see too much.
Kyle just gives a little squint of just like, what are you talking about?
Hoopa does not look... Merely 4 days ago, Hoopa was running away, sort of like all the plans going downhill. And now Hoopa is, 4 days later, somehow regained all confidence or something?
I mean, that itself doesn't shock me, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, as the big bad evil of this, of as the person behind the demise of the world, right? I don't think Kyle expected Hoopa to stay, you know, tail tucked between its legs, cowering in fear the rest of the way, right? Like, Kyle knew Hoopa was going to come back. Maybe not necessarily this soon, maybe not necessarily in Kyle's dream, but, like, I feel like Kyle, like, knew, like, the next time Hoopa showed up, you know, it was going to be right back to the same old facade of confidence. Whether or not that confidence is, like, you know, true confidence or just an act.
Would you like to find out?
I think Kyle...
That's a roll there, if you want.
Kyle would probably try to see if it's a... If it's just an air of confidence or if Hoopa's actually, like... Yeah, no, like, we're good. I got a plan B.
Cool. If you want to figure that out, that'd be an insight check, I think, on...
Which is a shame, because I rolled a 9. 9 minus 1 is 8.
We'll do opposing, so I'll have Hoopa's deception?
Performance?
Performance, maybe? Yeah.
I have no idea if that's better or worse for me. I have no idea. I haven't looked at the type
modifiers
in a while.
They're both cute.
Which
for Hoopa, Hoopa, what are you? You are a psychic ghost. All right. Hoopa's gonna be different, and that's that, I guess. So Hoopa rolls up. That's some charisma check.
Cool.
With that roll, you're looking at Hoopa like this. What are you thinking? Hoopa serious? Hoopa's what?
I think Kyle has learned to not assume anything when it comes to Hoopa. You know, I think Kyle like looks over at Hoopa and is just like, all right, Hoopa's here, of course. What are you looking for? What do you want? What are you trying to get out of me here?
With your roll, you win, so you'll figure this out. What'd you roll? Whatever it was, it wasn't like a 4, so.
Okay, nice. Easy win. So we take this.
Hoopa doesn't have to say anything, but Hoopa is offering a trade. What it is, you don't know yet, but Hoopa is offering a trade.
And Hoopa is like very convinced in its thinking. It's very convinced, very convinced in itself. It's very confident.
Very convinced.
In itself.
And also, yeah, I think that's fine. And also, not only is this a trade, this is a fair trade, at least from Hoopa's perspective. A fair trade in the sense, not only are we both getting something out of this, but I'm not going to betray you in this. I want the thing you have. You will get the thing I have.
See, now, and this is interesting for Kyle, because Hoopa approaching Kyle like this almost kind of buffs Kyle's confidence a bit, because it's like, hold on. This supposedly, you know, super powerful legendary sees me as an equal in this, as like an equal enemy in this. Well, we can get somewhere with this, you know? The power imbalance is gone.
That is true. At this point, you have more than sufficiently proven that you know what you're doing.
This won't ever go to Kyle's head.
Maybe that's Hoopa's plan. Mwahahaha.
It could very well be. All right. Hoopa has come with an agenda, but not necessarily a nefarious agenda, just more of a, you know, not a nefarious agenda, just Hoopa has come with an agenda, but also, like, is willing to act in good faith. It's like a way to sum up Hoopa's demeanor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Interesting.
Hoopa may be against you, but Hoopa is not trying to... Hoopa's fair when I want to be.
Hoopa's fair when it wants to be, and right now it does. All right. I think Kyle just gives Hoopa a nod of just like, all right, go on. What were you thinking? What did you want to say? Explain yourself.
I think it's abundantly clear that you and I are on different paths. Apparently, my voice has changed due to the fact that we're in a dream or something. I don't know. I'll figure this out.
Try again.
Cool. How do I get to the Joker voice?
Oh, Harley, there you go. Now I feel as though I can offer a trade for you. Something you want in exchange for something I want. I think, in fact, I'll sweeten the deal. Not only will I offer this trade, but I'll actually give you information about this place. Right here, right now.
Kyle narrows his eyes and is just like, go on. He kind of just kind of narrows his eyes. It's just like, all right, I'll listen.
Hoopa pulls out one of its, like, pulls out, summons one of its rings. And mm-hmm. kind of like a magician, you know how sometimes magicians, when they're doing like a levitation trick, they'll like use a hoop to show that there's no strings attached and things like that?
Yeah.
So Hoopa does something similar, just kind of waves this circular ring that's about the size you are in front of you, waves it across. And you see, right now, sort of levitating, a table. On the table is the rock horn.
In exchange for this legendary item, I will provide you information about the location you're in right now.
Or in exchange for the what am I saying? In exchange for this and hold up, let me get my notes out.
In exchange for the rock horn and information about the location we're in right now, I would like your golden mask.
I think Kyle, you know, puts on a little, like, pretend contemplative face as if he's thinking about it.
Like,
just
real emotional, like,
like, nothing over the top, you know? Look. Hoopa's come to negotiate in good faith. I'm not gonna mock him.
I want a performance check with advantage on your end, as you himself.
I think I'm just gonna, like, you know, take a beat
you know, pretend I'm thinking about it and shake my head, you know? And, boy, am I glad you said it with advantage, because that was a 1 and an 18 that I rolled.
Hoopa looks surprised, almost like, you turned down a legendary item like this? Really?
I think at this point, Kyle's going to finally open his mouth and just be like, well, I'll eventually learn about this dream, and I'll eventually get the rock horn. But this mask is a little too valuable. I can't give it up. It's all I've got.
Ignoring the other legendary items and like 14 other valuable things, probably this is all I got.
Well, I mean, it, considering Kyle is just a Trico who has just lucked his way into this position over the course of like 2.5 months of somehow not getting clobbered, the golden mask is really kind of the one thing that's come in clutch and kept him going. So
surprisingly, Hoopa feels okay with this. Hoopa's kind of like,
oh, very well, I did offer, just understand that. In fact, I appreciate you for taking this offer into account. So here, I'll give you one small detail. I don't need it, so I offer it to you. Will you accept?
I think Kyle is gonna nod and like extend his hand, his little hand out for a little handshake. I'm just like, you know what? You are my enemy, but I respect you, and this is generous. I much respect.
Hoopa shakes your hand and nods.
Until we meet again.
Phases out. You're still in the dream place, by the way.
I'm still in the dream place. Now, as I look around, do I see something new?
You do. It is one small detail, but it's a detail nevertheless. I don't know why I'm emphasizing detail so much. Kyle's still there. Kyle's still on the ground. It looks like time has almost paused at this point. Hoopa came in and was like, pause. Yeah. Hey, look, can we discuss this deal? All right, unpause. And the one detail you find is something you didn't really notice initially, but now that you're closer to Kyle, you can see. Kyle, dream, future, whatever Kyle. Kyle is holding something with like a force that clearly states, I am not letting this go under any circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that Kyle is holding right now is the red key.
Okay. The red key is very clearly, well, key.
And with that, fade back into black, into dreams. Ooh.
All right. See, this is interesting to me because didn't we get the red key when we somehow in the middle of a dream hopped all the way over to a volcano where Heatran was and took on Hoopa and acquired the fiery drum? Isn't that where we got the red key?
You didn't acquire... Did you?
Oh, no, we didn't acquire. We saw the fiery drum was there, but then we ended up acquiring it some other way anyways.
I think this was... what happened, you got the fiery drum. I think that was in the past or something along those lines. Because I remember Ralph playing the fiery drum. So I think that was a past thing. Like, you stole it from the past as opposed to stealing it from the past.
Yeah. We got it in the past. And, like, somehow... Like, at one point, we had all the legendary items, and then... But somehow, we ended up with a copy of... this copy of the fiery drum, because when we got to the volcano, Hoopa was like, I'm gonna get the fiery drum, and there was no fiery drum. That's what it was.
Yeah, Hoopa was like, I'm gonna get the fiery drum, and Adam's like, bet, turn around and find out. And then Hoopa's like, I turned around, there's no fiery drum there.
Yeah, and as Hoopa was after we kicked out Hoopa and his goons, I think we picked up the red key, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because the red key was there, it was kind of like hidden somewhere. I remember you were like investigating afterwards. The red key was there, and after like a lot of deliberation, I think you put like a stun seed there and replaced it because you had a full bag or something like that.
Yeah. Because I didn't have room in my inventory at that point. Yeah.
If you ever find that volcano, there's a random stun seed that's just been toasting there for a while.
Nice and toasty. If you toast a stun seed, is it more or less effective?
If you toast a stun seed. Mm-hmm. It becomes edible without stunning you. So less effective. However, if you burn a stun seed, I'm making this up right now, and I know for a fact
future me or future audience members are going to turn this around on me, but I'm going to say it now. We'll see what happens.
Burn
a stun seed and throw it or use it at somebody, they are both stunned and have a chance to burn every turn.
Interesting. Now, what if you toast a blast seed?
If you toast a blast seed, it calms down. It becomes a flavorful aroma. If you burn a blast seed, it blows up in your face immediately.
Okay, cool.
It is the equivalent of like one of those instant like flame things. Again, I don't know why this episode turned to a magician's episode, but like the instant spark thing there.
Someone has been down a YouTube rabbit hole.
Craziest thing is, I haven't even. This is all just innate knowledge I somehow seem to be holding on to, and not like actual study related stuff or anything like that. I could have sequel knowledge in my head, but magician knowledge. Got that down pat. Cool. All right. So we were fading back, waking up effectively, I think, right?
Yep.
Everything is calm and peaceful. I wonder if that went pretty well.
I was just more thrown off by the fact that it was like 7 chimes versus 8. You know, it was like 4 and then 3 instead of 4 and then 4.
I think at first I was going to go for it, and I kind of just ran out of like dings. Anyway, yeah. Apparently it's 7 o'clock now.
Then I guess there being 7 kind of works.
7 o'clock,
I was trying to think of what that bell sounded like. It's the Naranja Aruva Academy bell. It's the same sequence of dings.
Oh, really?
Is it? Yeah.
That's cool. So 7 o'clock, bright early morning, as you're driving on in, vibing, training. The chugga chugga choo choo. We've gone over this.
Dun, 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 dun.
That part. You're coming on in, and here it is, Vulcanburg.
Woo! We finally made it to the city whose name I continually take 3 seconds to remember.
At this point, it's a bit.
Or is it? Dun, dun, dun.
Or is it, yeah. Coming into Vulcanburg now, you're on the train tracks. You can see the city in the distance. This is... what would be the best way to describe this? I'm legitimately looking up Fire City, just trying to see... what's coming up. Shockingly enough, it's a lot of cities on fire, which doesn't really help me in this case.
What are like active volcanoes in the world of Pokemon? Mount Chimney, but there's not really like a city next to Mount Chimney.
What's it called? In Emerald, it's the Ruby Sapphire Emerald is where Flannery is. That area.
Well, that's Loveridge Town next to Mount Chimney. Yes.
Oh, that is Mount Chimney?
Yeah.
The one area in the extra zones where Heatran is and Diamond Pearl Platinum.
Stark Mountain.
So you know the names of the place. I'm just like, that's the Heatran place. That's that big mountain over there where Dialga is. All right. I will go with what just came up in my head, and I think it does something. All right. So first thing you see, a highly technologically savvy sound is technologically savvy city.
I'm on board.
There is a bunch of this is easily, would I say easily? Probably easily the most technologically advanced city you have been in. There are full on, they are selling video game consoles and everything. It's the PlayStation 1 is out. That's a thing that, you know, back we were playing with Dreamcast. This is PlayStation 1. Hello. Loud exclamations.
Wow. Of technological advancements. We are living in the future, aren't we?
Very technologically savvy city. A lot of the buildings are in either being created in the process of, like, either they're beginning to be created in the process of being created or have been created to make another building. Like, it is that sort of like just boom of a city. Most of the city itself is this sort of like dirt black color, I think is the best way to describe it. Various shades of soot, effectively. Okay. And the reason for that is pretty clear. As you look out in the distance, you see a large volcano. Clearly there. It's technically an eruption, but it is the slowest eruption ever because it is literally just magma kind of like bubbling over, like when you fill a cup of water a little bit too much.
Yeah, it's a gentle eruption.
It's a gentle eruption. as you're coming in here. Weirdly enough, though, despite the fact that there's a bunch of fire and all that sort of stuff, as a couple of people have opened the windows, the air is really clear here. Not sure what exactly that is. Maybe the fire is sort of purifying the air. Maybe there's some sort of things there. Maybe part of the magma itself seems to be giving this sort of like lifely like feel to it. But for some reason,
I call Rayquaza card.
Despite the fact that, you know, it's literal magma, and yet most people in real world, if you're near magma, would like suffocate from the ability, like the lack of being able to breathe, due to the oxygen being sapped in by the fire and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, Volkenberg, no, this
remarkably clear.
This is definitely either it's just that this city is actually like upwind of the volcano, or, and this is more likely, Mega Rayquaza Delta Stream go brrr.
And you look up in the sky and just see a Rayquaza floating around the city. No. So first thing, distance, volcano. You're actually coming in. You're coming in from the northwest, so you are going. Yeah, so you're going southeast, effectively, as you're entering into the town. As you're coming in, another interesting thing that you probably wouldn't have expected, at this point right now, you are on a bridge over a river of water in Fireland here, which is another interesting thing. This is another very large river. It's one of those, like, minute-plus-long bridge travels. On a train with that, as you're crossing over it to officially enter into Volkenberg. In fact, as you're halfway through, you see a little sign that says, "Welcome to Volkenberg."
Fun.
Come on. It's like a nice little like cartoony sign with a volcano, like little spurts out. It's like, "Welcome to Volkenberg." Fun little thing like that.
Don't die in the eruption.
Yeah, don't die in the eruption. That's on you, honestly, because it doesn't erupt, but it is, but it hasn't. And in fact, I think Sirfetch'd, Sir Crit, the Sirfetch'd, because he's so enthusiastic about this, has been handing out little pamphlets of, like, here's Volkenberg, basic information. Your choice if you'd like to read that or not.
Little tourist guide to the city?
Yeah, small little tourist guide thing.
I might open it up if once we get off the train, since we'll have some time to kill, potentially.
Gotcha.
What's more likely is Zendoran's gonna open it up and be like, let's go here, and God's gonna be like, okay.
Zendoran's like, all right, let's go there. I hope I didn't break that.
Break the die, your mic,
break the die.
The floor.
The die and the floor, honestly. Thankfully, it's not a metal die. That's fun. That's going to be used later. Anyway, entering in. River of water, which seems to go well with Fireland over here, making nice little a community that's able to expand on itself. As you enter on in Volkenberg, also the capital of Flama. So that's another fun fact as well, which is probably part of the reason why it's like ever expanding. Chugga 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 chugga. Slide on in. Welcome to Volkenberg. You're here. Da 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 da. Carlos Costa, Sir Crit, a couple of other the guild leaders, kind of like talking to their own squad. General gist is, hey, we you guys are the creme de la creme of people out here. Your adventurers, your successful people. None of you guys, especially today, are bad guys. Be civil, be safe. Meet up this building, this area, around main city, around 5 o'clock. Time right now, 7:30-ish. So, adios, everyone. Splits up.
Yep. Cool. All right. What are Adam and Zendoran thinking to do with this time? Do they have thoughts?
Adam is also gone. Adam has to prep for the actual meeting itself. So,
okay.
As part of that, Adam has kind of left you guys to it as he vamooses. Quite literally just like, hey guys, look, I'm sorry about this. I've got to go plan a couple of things. Got to meet up with people, make sure they're attending on time. Adios. Just gone.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's like halfway through the conversation as he's like phasing out.
Fair enough. All right. What's Zendoran saying?
Give me another insight roll.
I mean, I can't believe I burned it on this. But it's the first nat 20 with my new set of die.
Nat 20! Awesome.
God, that feels like such a waste! It's the first one with the new purple and gold dice, and it's on this!
I'll try to give you as much as you can to back it up. First thing, Zendoran has not said much of anything. Since,
It's dawning on you now, Sindorin, since
the cave
incident? Since Iron Gate hasn't really said much of anything.
Okay.
Yeah, the entire train ride right here hasn't really said much of anything.
Okay.
Kind of just on their own, and you're able to tell now. Before you're like, oh, he's just investing in these things. Now that you're focusing, there's no paperwork, nothing like that. Manaphy right now is with who?
Manaphy is with me, I believe.
Okay.
Wait,
you can set this up now.
I forget if we established when the switch happened, because Manaphy was with me when we dealt with Hoopa, but I don't think we switched afterwards, and I don't remember us switching before.
I think Manaphy was with you, because Manaphy at some point, I don't remember if it was established that Manaphy was with you, but at some point Manaphy gave you the cards to summon Tapu Fini. So Manaphy had to be with you then.
No, Manaphy was with me when Hoopa froze time and sent us all into our own thing. Manaphy was with me. I just don't know if Manaphy was actually like with Kyle before that, and if afterwards we established who Manaphy was with, but we'll just say Manaphy's with Kyle.
Okay. Now that I mean, on the train ride, it's not, yeah.
Yeah.
On the train ride, you could just obviously just Manaphy show up. All right. Manaphy's
well, I mean,
with you.
Whenever Pinch is out of the room, you know?
Yeah. Manaphy's with you. Now, no distractions. It's not Manaphy like coloring on Sindorin's leg or anything like that. And still, Sindorin hasn't really said much of anything. With the Nat 20, if you ask questions, Sindorin will answer truthfully, as opposed to potentially keeping anything covered.
Yeah. I think Kyle is just going to look to Sindorin and I think Kyle first, you know, is just going to look to Sindorin as, you know, give him the look like, all right, what are we doing? What's up? What are you thinking? To which I assume Kyle gets no response.
Just kind of fading out. Yeah, just staring off in the distance. Sindorin's just like thinking maybe or something.
I think Kyle like gets up in front of his face and starts like waving, just like, are you there?
Huh? Sorry. What was that, Kyle?
Are you good? Are you with us?
Yeah. I'm fine. I'm sorry. I don't know. I just feel different.
Kyle, eyebrow raised, as if to say, elaborate.
We never really discussed this, but when we went to the past, when I went to the past. Instantly, you're like, oh, the door thing. That's true.
Yeah.
Never really talked about that. When I went to the past and came back, I just feel different. I don't know. It's not huge, but...
Feel different as in you don't feel well? Feel different as in you're confused? Feel different as in what?
I'm trying to figure out how to say what I want to say without saying it. But you know. Legit. Well, I don't really understand. And Sindorin kind of like leads you off to the side at this point.
Yeah.
I don't really understand what I'm doing here, but I'm doing this. And he pulls off. Sindorin, at this point, has like pages and pages and pages of writing in a language that you don't recognize except for one word occasionally.
Yep. Okay.
You're just like looking at this like, I don't know. Wait a minute. That says portal right there. Portal? Transport? I forgot what we officially call it.
Yeah, I forgot what the definition of the rune was.
But it's just a bunch of nothingness, a bunch of random symbols shaped, and then that one word you recognize occasionally. I don't understand what any of this is. I can't even read any of this, but I keep writing this down. I've been doing this since I came back from the past.
Kyle is going to look at the pamphlet that Sir Crit was handed out and see if there is... Well, not see if there is. Of course there is. See where the library in Vulcanburg is.
Sure. I'm going to say it's not too far away. You could probably see it in, like, the vague distance right now. Like, a large book signifying the library. Like, edge of your horizon.
I think Kyle's going to hold open the pamphlet to that page, point, show it to Sindorin, and just kind of nod his head, just like, let's go. Let's get you some answers.
Alright. Flash forward about 10 minutes of walking later. And here you are, a library. Kyle. When I say library, I'm not talking like some, I was about to do some weird Indian thing. I'm not talking some like eeny meeny little tiny library. Oh, look at that. We've got one floor of books. No. I'm talking full on college campus, bookstore level. Everything's in here. You want books on like science? We got books on science. Pokemon etymology? Pokemon etymology. The history, the life, lies, and structures of the goat Feebas? Full section over there. Yes. This is Kyle, when I say every single book is in here, I not only mean every book of the past, I not only mean every book of the present. There are authors right now that are getting publishing deals that as soon as their deal is stamped, they throw a book on the shelf. Like, I'm talking everything is here. This is Kyle's dream house.
Yes. I assume Sidoran also, but there must be in the lost in the fog of confusion covering his eyes, there must be a small little glint of just like, yes, this is home.
Sindorin walks, it's like he's halfway talking to you like, yeah, this is really weird. I mean, I don't really know how much this library is gonna help.
Also, Sidoran surely would know about this library, no?
Well, this town is ever expanding. So Sindorin's like vaguely, as he's talking, like, yeah, the Pokemon library's got a lot of interesting things, but, you know, they've got like three, four floors. No. This thing is the like fifth tallest building in the city somehow.
It's Cappy.
It's nuts. They are building floors. You could see like an assembly line of like construction workers building the floor, like making new shelves, then writers like signing books and then immediately tossing them into the shelves and then going to their next book and write. Like, this is a machine process that somehow has turned into the world's greatest university a la book.
Yes. I am here for this.
Kyle hype. Sindorin hype. Man, if he's trying to leave the building right now. There you go.
Wait, as we go to the section we want, we stop by the section of coloring books and pick one up.
Yeah, and there's like a store as well. To save you money, Sindorin buys a book, and now Manaphy's hype as well. Manaphy's like, yep. Dang, they got coloring books. They got different size coloring books. They got the 64 pack with the sharpener on the back. Oh my god!
Oh yes.
So Manaphy's hype.
Manaphy is now sated.
Anyway, so this library is huge. Bright side, you want it, you can find it. Downside, you gotta go find it. But, like, you know, we'll get to that when we get to that. What are you looking for here?
Kyle has really vague, foggy memories of at some point being in the past and seeing this writing.
I would say at this point it's clear. Like, I feel like the best way to describe this is like a mind shift, I think. Like, if you focus on the... You know Ralph exists. You know that timeline exists. If you switch yourself over to that timeline, then you don't have the foggy-ish memories anymore. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but I mean, even without shifting, right? Like, you know, some part of it stays and... Okay, now we're getting into the weird thing of, like, is Kyle's conscience, like, completely... Like, is his subconscious completely split? Like, can his subconscious access both at the same time? Da-da-da-da-da. All of this is to say... Kyle knows we gotta go to the history section, and
yeah, that's good.
I don't know if there was ever a true dictionary made. I don't think there ever was, but I think it'll be enough to show Sidoran, hey, all right, this is the time and the language that you are writing in, right? Like, it's like, all right, we'll start here. We'll show you what it is. Because Kyle knows what it is, but, like, rather than, you know, explain it to Sindorin, let Sindorin explore, you know?
Go ahead and roll for me a history check.
That is smart, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to roll the old die. And that was not a bad choice. I got a 12 plus 1. Let me double check that. Yeah, plus 1. So 13.
I
don't know why I was gonna double check that. Like, I was about to have like a +3 in smart somehow.
You go over to the history section, you find the exact section that you want of, like, it's like it basically called old region. Like, I don't know, it's just old stuff. These are not only old books; these are old collections. These are things that have been saved for hundreds and hundreds of years to the point where there's, what's a good Pokemon to throw in here? There's like a Conkeldurr guarding the area right now. Like,
has specific gloves on, is like not only security but the only one allowed to flip the pages, like that sort of old thing.
Yep.
But this entire section is here to use at your leisure, and you're looking specifically for what, the ancient language itself?
Well, I think we're just pointing to examples of, you know, the language that Doran is writing in, right? Because I assume, like, this section, right, has stuff, like, texts from that time written in that language, along with books about that period of time, right?
Yeah, I would say, that works. I would say, not only is the text of those times, but Sindorin's able to find a book. It looks like it's just some random story, like ancient story of the time. But Sindorin's able to pull out from his own little like mini collection he carries with him the exact same story written in English.
Oh.
And so...
Wait, so is there a dictionary somewhere? Have we been able to translate? Like, how is Sindorin figuring this out?
I have rolled. There is no dictionary. However, Sindorin, what he can do is effectively cross-reference the stories and know, okay, this word means this thing, this word means this thing, and we'll... Roll for me a
d20. We're using this d20. Oh, how do you like that? Another 20.
Another 20?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, okay.
I used the purple die again, and I got another 20. I'm getting them all out of the way now.
Okay.
None for me in the finale. All now.
Sindorin looks at you, like, excited, and turns to you. Kyle, this is incredible. Doing like you can see the gears turning in his head as he's doing mental math, it just like eyes moving around, like as he's like moving Sherlock style, just like taking things and pushing them together, and then just like stares at you. He's got the biggest gleam in his eyes. Any sort of like sadness, confusion, annoyance, because at this point I think what he was basically wondering is like, did going to the past make me lose my mind because I'm writing all this gibberish that I don't understand?
I figured that was it. Like, I figured like something like an easy fix for Sindorin was, hey, look, what you're doing makes sense. Have fun. You like, have a new knowledge. Superpower now.
Sindorin looks at you with no like complete confidence in what he's about to say, which is, if we stay here for 2 days, I'm going to make the bold policy here that you can't take books out of the city from the library here. If we stay here for 2 days, I will master the ancient language. That's thanks to your nat 20 here. So
yeah, okay. I think Kyle is just gonna nod and just like gesture to the books as in go to town. Have fun.
Sindorin, already on page 12 somehow while you're in this conversation, is just zooming through this. He's like completely... This is Professor Sindorin going full ham on this.
Yep.
The one slight downside, if it becomes a downside... is that Sindorin, in order to master this language, has to be here for the next 2 days. So, I'm effectively locking you in here for 2 days. 2 days, grand scheme of things, not a big deal. Probably, unless, you know, something bad happens. I actually don't know what's going to happen.
If something comes up, Kyle will call Sindorin on the phone and say, all right, meet me at this place when you're done. Like,
yep,
we'll be fine.
I
think Kyle is just going to, you know, see Sindorin, you know, hammering away at the books. Is just gonna give him a little tap on the shoulder, wave bye, and leave him to
his studies.
Okay, and I think now we're here in Vulcanburg. Sindorin, with a new mission, will soon be kind of similar to Ralph in a way, your ancient language contact until you have the ability or the time to learn it yourself, or not. Just have your translator here. I think this is a perfect place to end the episode.
We have gained a superpower.
The power of language.
And I have no idea if we actually, like, you know if we made progress. I don't know if we made any progress towards the end of the arc.
You moved forward in space.
I appreciate
that. That's going to end this episode, though. Thank you, everyone, for listening, watching, and supporting in any way, shape, or form that you do. Until next time, I have been your PM, your Demon GM, Anaru himself.
And I've been Muhammad playing Kyle.
Until next time, language learning is easy. It takes 2 days. Granted, it's a made-up language that doesn't actually exist and actually has no structural syntax or style probably whatsoever, but it's possible. Right? No? Okay, bye.
From up top, we see the Alcas region in all of its glory, every aspect of the region, all of the different states and everything, and we zoom in closer and closer. In the middle of the Alcas region, maybe a little bit more eastward, maybe a little bit more northward, but we zoom into a particular area of a region, a bustling city, full of Pokemon across the area, walking around a typical afternoon day, or at least as typical as it gets here in the Alcas region. And we zoom in to a Pokemon hidden behind a cape with the hood on, unclear about any of its functions. All we can tell, standard heightish, standard weightish, and seems to be talking to themselves. Well, that was certainly disappointing, but nevertheless, it does strike off one more thing on my list here. No, no, no. Where are they? I don't understand where they could be. Oh, well, I suppose we'll have to try another... hello, officer. I don't suppose I could help you? The Pokemon says, as it looks up at a large, and when I say large, I mean very large Rhyperior. Police badge, police cap, and everything.
Freeze, you're under arrest.
Officer, you do understand, of course. I haven't done anything. I'm just walking on the street these days is a crime, but I don't believe I read that on the last report, the last newspaper item. That's clearly not working on you. Okay, how can I help? What have I done wrong, officer?
You're under arrest for thievery.
Thievery? Thievery even a word these days? Thievery. Very, very interesting. Okay, officer, what have I taken?
You're under arrest for stealing the jewels at the Brightside Mansion.
Jewels? Jewels at the Brightside Mansion? Well, let's see here. No. Brightside. And jewels as well? Does coal count as jewels? No, I don't suppose it does. Officer, I'm sorry to say, I don't think I am that Pokemon that you're looking for. However, I do have one of those faces.
You are under arrest. If anything you say can...
Now, officer, I've been through this ordeal a number of times. You don't have to give me all of the spiel there. Let's cut a little bit of stuff time here. You know I'm not going to come quietly. And I know that you know I think you did what I did. Does that make sense? No? Doesn't matter. Anyway, rather than... dealing with all of this complexity involved with the case, why don't we just skip to the part where I walk away and you end up, I don't know, in that barrel over there. Perhaps, I don't know, whatever.
Are you saying you won't come quietly?
I'm saying, first off, officer, I've done nothing wrong at all. In fact, those precious jewels that you're speaking of, I would not be surprised if they're in the last place that you needed to look. After all, when it comes to items that you lose, just start by retracing your steps. So, officer, where were those jewels last?
In the vault.
And maybe I'm just determining this based on the uniform and everything, but it does look like there is an individual behind you with an outfit very similar to the one that you've got on right now. I wouldn't suppose that would be, say, an officer trying to inform you that the jewels that you say I have on me, which, by the way, look, I'm going to be perfectly honest. This apple is not a jewel, okay? And outside of this, I'm basically carrying nothing. So, unless you want to say the jewels are in this apple, which, if you want to take a bite, feel free. It's not a particularly good apple anyway. I don't have them on me. I do think, however, this fella here might be giving you a little bit of information. And sure enough, another police officer comes on in right behind this giant Rhyperior. We'll say this is a Rhydon. And the Rhydon comes up.
Sir, you won't believe this. The jewels, they're back.
What?
The jewels, they're back. They're in the vault.
They were gone.
I know we all saw it was gone and had the little sign from the magician thief, but it's, they're back. They're back. He said, the card, I have it with me. The card just says, wanted to check these out. Not my style. Signed the magician thief. That's it. It's right here, the card.
Oh, the magician thief. Well, that certainly makes more sense. I understand why this is a big deal after all. It's the one, right? Coppers can't get him. Rescue teams can't get him. Becoming a little bit of a cult hero in the undergrounds. Now, you didn't hear this from me, of course, but, you know, some would say they are becoming kind of a big deal. Not gonna lie.
I know you're him. If you can't come in for this case, you can come in for a number of other cases.
Now. Officer, did you forget what I mentioned previously? You see, there's one very, very small detail that you seem to be forgetting. Is that I don't need to come quietly. And in fact, I think both of us here, I'm not particularly interested in getting into battles with you for a variety of reasons, chief among it being I do not want to get my hands dirty. So, rather than getting through all of that, let's again, like I said, skip to the part where I walk away. Now you can choose to either jump at the barrel now, or I can magically make myself disappear and jump at the barrel afterwards. Whatever works for you, Mr. the other officer here, I got no beef with you, honestly, so no need for the barrel for you. You're good. You can just stand by and get the big fella here out of it once you're done.
What do you mean? I think you fail to consider. We have this area surrounded.
Sure enough, about 10, 12 other police officers are in the area. 13. Lucky number 13. Well, I do understand why you think this is an advantage, but 13 on 1 isn't an advantage for you. It's an advantage for me. Well, I've spent enough time chit-chatting here, and frankly speaking, my audience awaits. So, rather than wait for this moment right here, right now, I suppose I'll just bid you adieu. Until next time.
And the Pokemon throws the apple in the air. Now, the Pokemon wasn't really showing the apple particularly clearly, just kind of flashing it up, and it was like a reddish sort of thing in the vague circular shape of an apple. But as this Pokemon throws it in the air, you see, if this is an apple, it's certainly not a good one. I would agree, because it's almost like it's crystallized. Oh, it's an ore. And that realization settles in on the Rhyperior. No way! And glass breaks, fog quickly envelops the area, and just as quickly disappears, and the Pokemon has disappeared as well. What? Where did... Guards! And the Rhyperior, along with the other police officers and guards and various sort of law enforcement that have shown up, disperse, chasing after this character, who, as we take a look from their perspective, is still standing there. He's waiting for everybody to disappear. The Rhyperior, standing there as well, doesn't see this, obviously, as our friend here, our character, has turned themselves invisible. Rhyperior looks behind them and sees the barrel and wonders, just for a second, they can't be in the barrel, can they? Walks up to it, and as they take a look inside, gets pushed behind by our friend here, tumbles into the barrel, the ride on next, right next to it, just sort of blurts out, no, and Rhyperior struggles to get out of the barrel as you hear the voice of our little main character here laughing as they walk away. Our hooded friend also, as they're walking past, casually takes a newspaper off a rack, looks at it, and sees the headline article, New Recruit Guild Expected in Vulcanburg. Well, I suppose now is as good a time as any to meet Mr. Longgrass. Finally have a conversation with him. I just hope he can help me as much as I believe I can help him. Our hooded friend walks in the direction of Vulcanburg to meet with a certain Mr. Longgrass.